What the Cluck, episode 69, five things that you can do to prepare for spring. Hi there, and welcome to this episode of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode, we're going to talk all about five things that you can do right now to start to prepare for spring. Chick days are almost here. It's definitely time to start thinking about spring and how you want to raise your chickens in the spring. So that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. Now, before we get started, this podcast is sponsored by Manipro Poultry. And I've partnered with Manipro because their chicken products are the best on the market. We are deep into winter now, guys. It is actually December 30th, the day that I'm recording this. And while it's a pleasant 50 degrees here on our farm, I know a lot of you guys are knee-deep in snow. I know the Northeast has been hit quite bad this week with a snowstorm. So that means that we need to be extra vigilant about what our chickens are eating, and that's where ManoPro's chicken feed comes in. They have a full array of non-GMO organic chicken feed for every stage of a chicken's life, from the time that she is an itty-bitty chick until the time when she is a full-grown gorgeous layer. So the next time that you're in a feed store, if you're not sure what to buy, maybe you're new to chickens, or you just want to make sure that your chickens are getting the best diet possible, go ahead and grab a bag of ManoPro's non-GMO organic chicken feed, and you can be sure that your chickens are getting the best diet possible. You can catch up with ManoPro on the website at www.manopro.com. So let's get on with our episode, and this is going to be a fun episode. It is the last one of 2016, guys. Can you believe it? 2016 is almost over. We've been partying here on What the Cluck for about, what, over a year now. I believe I started this podcast in September of 2015, so now we're in December of 2016, so it's been quite a while. It has been a crazy year. I don't know what your year has been like. Ours has had a lot of ups and downs, a lot of good, a little bit of bad. You can't have the good without the bad, right? And now we're definitely ready for 2017 and to see what 2017 brings. A little bit of information to give you guys is that last night, the blog, Frugal Chicken, my blog, obviously, Frugal Chicken, reached 1.5 million views for the year 2016. That is quite an achievement, and I do want to thank everybody who helped me make that possible. It is definitely a milestone for the blog, and I cannot wait to see how we do next year, and to continue to hang out with you guys on the podcast and on the blog. So let's talk about the things that you can do right now, even though it is snowy and cold where you're at, 50 degrees here, but I'm sure it's cold where you're at, the things that you can do now to start preparing for spring. And the reason I wanted to talk about this now on the very last, almost the very last day of 2016, is because January and February, especially around here, probably where you're at too, are pretty dank and dreary. You know, we might get snow, we might not get snow, I don't know, but it's definitely going to be cold. So I thought now would be a really great time to sort of talk about fun things that we can do, dream about spring a little bit, and just kind of get our minds off of the cold weather. So the first thing that you can do to prepare for spring, and this is probably going to be a little bit, you know, review for you guys, is actually to think about the chickens that you want to raise in the spring. So we planned to actually get some new chicks on the farm. We haven't had chicks in a little while. So we're definitely going to get some new bases in our flock. So I decided that what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and get 10 production red pullets. And then we're also going to add some Polish bantams to our flock. Now, I actually really like the production reds. I know that they're not a real breed, but I do think that they're very pretty. And they are, I think, the best layers out there. That's just my experience, my opinion. If you think another breed is better at laying eggs, then you know, go for it, guys. You know, that's totally cool. But the production reds work for me. I think that they're pretty, and I just enjoy looking at them and being around them. And then my husband didn't decide anything. I'm not even sure he knows of my plans. Maybe he's overhearing me right now. But anyways, I decided to add some Polish bantams to our flock. We've had them in the past, and I just think it's time to have some funny-looking birds hanging around, you know? So we're just going to order them from a hatchery. They'll be unsexed. We don't know if we'll get roosters or hens. In the end, I really don't care. The Polish Bantams that we had in the past were actually, they were roosters, and they were pretty quiet. They weren't, you know, aggressive birds at all. And we're allowed to have as many roosters as we want here. So I'll just go ahead and, you know, whatever we get is what we get. But now is a really great time to decide which breeds you might want to raise for the spring. So if you want to have meat chickens, then decide, you know, what meat breed you want to raise. If you are going to want them for eggs, which I know most of you probably are, then look at which breeds you want for eggs. What color eggs do you want? You know, we might add some blue egg layers in there. We do have one, and she's wonderful, but maybe we need some more too. So just decide what breeds will work for you. At the same time, if this is your first time raising chickens, or if you move to a new area, just be sure, no matter what you do, just to talk to your neighbors and definitely make sure that you're allowed to have chickens in your area. I cannot tell you the amount of people that drive by our farm trying to give us some animal or other because they didn't check to make sure that they were allowed to have that particular animal in their area. So definitely make sure that you talk to your neighbors and just make sure that they're on board with it. And, you know, just so that they know the game plan, it's just communication, right? And then definitely make sure that you are even allowed to have chickens. Now, the next thing that you can do to prepare for spring is decide whether you need a new coop or whether you need to make some repairs to your coop or whether you need to even expand it. So one thing that we're doing on the farm right now is we definitely need some new coops. So we're kind of looking through the catalogs on Amazon to see what we want to order, or do we want to make our own, or do we want to do a little bit of both? Because we can both make them, we definitely need more than one coop. So that's something that you can decide on. Now, the rule of thumb when it comes to chickens is you want to have about 10 square feet of space per chicken. So, and that's if they're cooped all the time. If they're allowed to free range, then you want to have about 4 square feet of space per chicken. And that includes both the coop and the run. So definitely, you know, consider how many you plan to get or how many you have now, and look to see if maybe it's time to expand your coop or, you know, sort of refurbish it a bit. I have had a number of fans contact me asking, you know, why is this hen being picked on, or why is this hen not coming out of the coop? And the answer is usually something about the fact that there's so many chickens in the coop. So that's something just definitely to take into consideration before spring comes. It might take a little bit of planning. You know, you have a couple months, at least in our area of the country. When March comes around, it can be kind of cold, but it also can be kind of warm. So I tend to look at it as 2 months. I know some of you in the Northeast or even like in the north or northern parts like Minnesota, North Dakota, you guys probably will not have spring until probably May. I understand that. So there is a bit of time, but now is the time to start thinking about it, especially for the new year. So number one, decide if you're going to raise new chickens, you know, what breeds you want to raise, how many you want to raise, and then go ahead and look at the infrastructure on your farm to make sure that you can support that number and that everybody's going to be happy. Now, the third thing that you can do to prepare for spring is go ahead and dedicate part of your garden to create a special garden for your chickens. Not everyone's going to want to do this, but if you have the room, I do recommend it. Now, this could be as simple as just growing some greens or maybe growing a little bit of corn. It's not necessarily about growing everything that your chickens need. I did have someone on the blog this week ask me if they could grow all of the wheat for their chicken that their chickens would ever need. That's a bit of a, let's put it this way, that's very ambitious, okay? It's a very ambitious project because it's not just about growing the wheat, it's about pulling it and threshing it. And believe me when I say it, guys, threshing your wheat is a big pain in the butt. I know they make things to do it. I know, you know, it's just, I've done it. It's a big pain in the butt. There are other things that you can grow. For example, you can grow some greens. You can grow beans or peas. Chickens love peas. So just look at the garden that you have. And if you have the space, go ahead and dedicate some of that to your chickens. They'll thank you. You'll feel better because they'll be getting fresh food. This is especially important like in the beginning of spring. So for example, one thing that we like to grow around March and April are radishes. Chickens don't necessarily appreciate the radishes themselves. Ours don't particularly like them. Actually, that's not true. Last year, they did go ahead and peck at them. We had some of our radishes grow up out of the soil like they tend to do when they get really big. And the chickens definitely did peck them, I remember, because I would go out to the garden, and there were a bunch of them I couldn't, like, we're talking like probably about 25% of the radishes that I grew last year, I had to recycle to my chickens and to my pigs because the chickens had been pecking at them in the ground. So having thought about it, yeah, they will appreciate the radishes themselves, but even more what they'll appreciate are the greens. We had a really hard time keeping our radish greens intact last year at the beginning of the spring because the chickens would go ahead and gnaw at it. The wild rabbits helped them too, but the chickens were definitely some of the culprits of that. Now, like I said, peas are another option, and I can tell you from experience that chickens do love peas. We had a really hard time last year growing beans and peas because the chickens would get into the garden and scratch it all up. But consider dedicating part of your garden to growing treats for them. Or if you're very ambitious, you can go ahead and dedicate probably a 20-foot, or let's go like 60 feet by about 200 feet. You could probably grow a good amount of food for your chicken for the spring, summer, and fall, and into the early winter for your chickens. So if you have a very, you know, good green thumb, if you love gardening, you can go ahead and grow a lot for them, but you don't have to. The idea here is just simply to have the experience and have the joy of growing some treats for your chickens and some part of their feed. Okay, it will actually reduce your feed bill too, and they'll be getting a good healthy diet. Obviously, the basis of any healthy diet is going to be the, you know, feed, the, for example, a commercial feed, or if you make your own feed, adding the greens, adding the radishes, adding, you know, corn from your garden, whatever you end up growing for them, beans, peas, is going to be additional nutrients for them, and it's going to be just additional entertainment for them as well. So definitely consider growing a garden for your chickens. Now, the number four thing that you can do to prepare for spring, and this is something that you can start to do now, and I do actually recommend you do it now, is chicken-proof your garden, folks, okay? Now, you heard me before tell the stories about my radishes. I just told that story and how the chickens got into the garden and ate my radishes, and about 25% of them were no better than hog feed at that point. That's a very good example of why it's probably a good idea to chicken-proof your garden. And that's something that we are going to do this winter as well. We're going to go ahead and install some new raised beds. And then what we're actually going to do is create plastic covers for the raised beds. So it's the plastic covers that are also made out of PVC. So it's a kind of like a half hoop house. That's really the only way I can find to keep the chickens out of the garden. We obviously, you know, we could do things like build a really, really tall fence, but my guess is that this is probably going to be the cheapest solution to that problem. We try to keep our chickens locked up. We do have some that are stragglers around the property, some whose job in the winter or in the summer is bug patrol. We find that the chickens keep the mosquito population down. They keep the fly population a bit better than before we had chickens. So that's why we tend to have chickens running around. The other thing is that we have a lot of roosters still from our heritage breed rooster fiasco of last year, where I ordered 100 roosters as meat birds, and it was just like crazy, right? Never, ever. I don't recommend doing that at all. So that's why we call it our heritage rooster fiasco. So we do have some stragglers left over from that. Basically, individual birds that I wanted to keep because I wanted to have those breeds on the property. And I'm glad that I kept them, but we can't keep everybody in the same coop because then our roosters start to fight. They fight as it is. We have 10 acres of property. They fight as it is anyway. So I can't imagine how much worse the physical damage to the birds would be if they were in a coop. So suffice to say, one of our goals for this winter is to start to chicken-proof our raised beds. Because like I mentioned before, we had a really hard time growing beans and peas this year. And that is definitely something that is on my agenda for the spring. We eat a lot of peas. We eat a lot of beans in our house. You know, beans are really good for you. So that's definitely something that we want to grow in the spring. But if we have chickens in the garden and they're eating the peas before they even have a chance to sprout, that's not going to work out. So look at your garden. And if you have chickens already and they're getting into your garden, consider looking at some way to protect the raised beds from them. If you're thinking about getting chickens and you have a garden, but you don't have chickens yet, take my advice and find a way to keep the chickens out of your garden. Life will be much easier. It will cut down on the frustration and it will cut down on the amount of times that you have to try to, you know, constantly replant the same thing that you just planted 3 days ago. Now, the fifth thing that you can do to prepare for spring is consider whether you want to raise other poultry in addition to chickens or even other livestock. So on our farm, we raise, in addition to chickens, we raise quail and we raise duck. We have one duck. Her name is Henrietta, and we're still waiting for that egg to come from her. Probably in the spring, we'll start to get eggs from her. But ask yourself if you want to raise other poultry, and now is the time to decide that. And the reason why is because there's certain infrastructures you have to have in place in your farm if you plan to raise more than chickens. A good example of this is turkeys. You really shouldn't keep your turkeys and your chickens together. The reason why is because turkeys can get something called blackhead disease from chickens. Chickens are carriers of this. It doesn't really affect them, but it can kill your turkeys. So if you plan to raise turkeys and you also have chickens, it's really not the best idea to keep them together. The other thing is that turkeys do eat a lot. And you do need to feed them slightly different feed than your chickens, and you need to feed them a lot more. It can be a little bit hard for turkeys to eat out of the same bowls or out of the same, you know, feeders as chickens also, simply because their beaks are a little bit thicker and they just need a little bit deeper dishes, if that makes sense. They can't really scrape in exactly the same way that chickens can with their beaks, I've noticed. So you really can't keep the two of them together. You can keep ducks and chickens together. That's totally fine. There's not a problem with that. But if you plan to raise both chicks and ducklings, I don't recommend raising them together in the same brooder. The reason for that is that chicks, because of their down, if their down gets wet and it gets crusted with feed, it's harder for the chicks to stay warm. Ducklings are, you know, they have the same issue, but ducklings are very, very messy. Okay, so they're messy with the water. Their poop is messier than chick poop. So you can raise them together, but I really don't recommend it because it's harder to keep all the moving parts working. So if you plan to raise both of them, you know, chicks and ducklings, you should really have two separate brooders for them. So you're going to have to make sure that you have the space for that, that you have the light for that, that you have the desire to have that extra burden on you, okay? So if you plan to raise more than one poultry, you kind of need to make the decision now, and you need to research, you know, the effects that that might have on your lifestyle and whether you have the infrastructure and the space on your farm for that. Another example is quail. A lot of people try to keep quail and chickens together. The problem with that is that quail don't come home to roost like chickens, and they don't fly the same way that chickens do. They're better flyers than chickens. They tend to hide more, and they tend to startle more than chickens. So if you scare a quail, which is really easy, mine have been looking at me every day, 3 or 4 times a day for the past 2 years, and they still look at me like I'm going to kill them every day. So it's really easy to scare quail. And if you do that and they get enough momentum going upwards and flying upwards, they can actually hit the roof of the coop and break their neck. So I don't really recommend raising quail and chickens in the same structure either. I know people who do it successfully, and that's fine. I just don't personally recommend it. I do have to keep them separate. The other thing, again, is that quail do need different food from chickens. They do best on like a 22% protein feed, whereas chickens, you can go ahead and give them a 16% layer pellet. That's another example of just if you're going to go ahead and raise different poultry than chickens, think about what you want to buy and what you want to raise and whether your farm can support that and your time that you have can support that. Something else to consider, though, is whether you want to raise livestock in addition to chickens. Do you want to raise rabbits? Do you want to raise pigs? You know, some of those you can keep with chickens and some of them you can't. For example, I don't recommend keeping pigs and chickens together. We've had bad luck with that. We've had mixed results with that. Let's put it that way. You can raise rabbits and chickens together in the same structure. That is one option. And the rabbits will bring extra meat if you want to go that direction, and so will the pigs. You know, there's a few decisions to make there. And, you know, people, once they get chickens, they tend to graduate to other types of livestock. Another example are goats. You can definitely keep goats and chickens together. We do that, and it's not a problem. The only thing you have to watch out for, though, is just that your goats don't step on the chickens. We had that happen once. It wasn't pretty. That's just another decision you can make. So just to recap, the 5 things that you can do right now to prepare for spring is 1, decide what breed of chickens that you want to raise and how many you're going to get. Look at your coop and or look at poops that you want to buy. Make sure that they're big enough and that you don't need to enlarge them. Number three, dedicate part of your garden to growing food for your chickens. That's a fun thing to do. Number four, chicken-proof your garden for spring. Start that now and just make sure that the chickens can't get into your garden for spring. And then number five, decide if you want to add other poultry or livestock to your farm in addition to chickens. And if you plan to do that, go ahead and research whether you can keep them with chickens and how those other poultry or livestock may affect your farm. So that is the end of this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and that it's given you an idea of things that you can do now to start to prepare for spring. I do want to encourage you to go ahead and grab my book, Chickens Naturally Raising a Sustainable Flock. It is 150 pages and it's filled with photos, charts. There's a week-by-week chick raising guide, so what to do every week of your chick's life. So there's a lot of great resources in there, everything that you need to start raising a flock of chickens, or if you're already raising them, to continue to raise them successfully. You can go ahead and get that book at thefrugalchicken.com/chickenbook. I want to thank you again for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.